I'm excited. God's about to do something. God's about to step in. God's about to fix what's wrong in this world. Amen. And it all starts with love, because the Bible says God is love. So no, I'm not downcast. No, I'm not discouraged. No, I'm not frustrated, because I know where my strength comes from. And I always look to the mountain. I always look to the rock. Amen. From where my strength comes. God bless you this morning. It is so good to see you. Hope that you've had a glorious and wonderful week. And I hope you're prepared to lay aside every weight this morning, to rid your mind of every obstacle except an open forum to praise God. Amen. We come into the sanctuary this morning to honor and to reverence and worship our God and our Savior. Amen. So lay aside everything else. I promise, if you will, I won't be lengthy. If your mind wanders, mine might too. Amen. It's so encouraging to look over the congregation and see people actually focusing. Now, I'm going to assume if your eyes close, you're praying. And I need those prayers. Amen. You have your Bibles. And how many brought the sword with you this morning? Go with us to the book of Exodus, chapter number 17. The book of Exodus, chapter number 17. Beginning with the very first verse of Exodus 17, we want to go down through verse number 6 this morning. Certainly we desire your prayers that God would just give us liberty, that God would sanction and anoint His servant this morning. Reading from the Word of God, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim. There was no water for the people to drink." Say that with me this morning. There was no water for the people to drink. "Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, Give us water that we may drink. Moses said unto them, Why chide with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, What shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock in Horeb. Thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel." Can we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are for this day and this opportunity to gather together. Father, I pray that we would be in one mind and one accord, receptive, submissive, and obedient to your word and to your will. Father, I ask now that you anoint these lips of clay, God, this servant, this vessel. God, I pray, Lord, that you would just use it, God, to bring forth your word this morning. Feed us that heavenly manna, God, that we may grow thereby. Pray, God, that you would meet each and every need under the sound of my voice today. Reach out and encourage those who may be discouraged, those who may be stressed. Father, I pray that you would give comfort to those who are exhausted in spirit and in flesh. Pray, God, that you would have your will and your way. And God, that we would devote this time to your purpose and to your love and to magnifying you through the word of God this morning. We ask these blessings in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Before you're seated, turn to your neighbor, tell them you love them. You better pick out one that you really love. You're in church. Praise God. Praise God. All right. Y'all through loving? Man. Save the rest of it till after church. Praise God. Amen. If I had a message title this morning, it would be, "We Must Go On." I said, "We must go on." I know sometimes we don't feel like it. I know sometimes we become discouraged. I know sometimes it seems like we're just spinning our wheels. Sometimes it seems like we're going in reverse. And unfortunately, sometimes it seems like we're completely stuck, not even spinning our wheels. But we must go on. Amen. Sometimes traveling is easy in the spiritual realm. The blessings flow. We're feeling good in our body. Little jingle in our pocket. Things are going well. Sometimes we can actually put it in auto drive and just kind of sail along. But how many would agree with me? Sometimes it seems very difficult even to make progress on level ground. We know about the hills. We know about the mountains. We know that sometimes life is rough and we must persevere and we must go on. But sometimes we shrug our shoulders and we begin to say, what's the use? Why continue? It's problem after problem, situation after situation, issue after issue. It seems that I can't get ahead. It seems like I can't get any satisfaction. It seems like I'm not growing spiritually. It seems like I'm in a wilderness, just meandering through the wilderness without focus, without direction, and without a purpose. You know, many, many times we do experience those situations, but how many knows that we can be encouraged in the Word of God? We're not the only ones that ever felt that way. I want to bring your remembrance to this particular story. This is on the heels of a great and mighty miracle. I don't even know we might use the words or adjectives to explain a miracle. Every miracle of God is great and mighty. Whether it's the healing of a headache or whether it's remission of cancer, still a miracle. We just tend to have to put a little degree on it. All miracles are great. But understand, this comes on the heels of God feeding the children of Israel because they grew weary and they grew hungry and they did not prepare or take enough provisions with them when they left Egyptian captivity, and all of their supplies were gone. And again, they began to murmur, they began to complain, they began to go to the man of God. They began to say, what are we going to do? You brought us out of Egypt. I know we were enslaved there, but at least we had a place over our head. At least we had food. At least we had water. Why did you bring us out into this wilderness to die? And again, God blessed them. Aren't you glad that God doesn't grow weary of our complaining? Aren't you glad that God is always there? Amen. When we come sometimes and we forget about praise and we forget about worship and we forget about thanking Him, and all we've got is a laundry list of things we need from God and how we tell Him how things are going and they're not going good and all of these problems. Aren't you glad that He is a God of mercy? Aren't you glad He's a God of understanding? Aren't you glad that He's God of plenteous redemption? Amen. And He blesses us in spite of our moaning. He lifts us up in spite of our discouragement. We can go to Him any time, day or night, and always find Him there, receptive, amen, to our petitions. So God sends down the heavenly manna that feeds the children of Israel. I don't know about you, but it seems like if I was in the midst of staring starvation in the face and God came on the scene and began to feed me with a miracle from heaven, I would at least take the time and opportunity to thank Him for the rest of my life for making a way. How soon we forget when God comes on the scene for us. And we're excited at the time, we're thankful at the time, but the next issue or problem arises, we soon get spiritual amnesia and forget what God has just done. This was the case with the children of Israel. They could not thank God for murmuring. Hello? They could not adequately worship Him or praise Him because situations were bad in their life. I want to tell you, if you will give me a people that can glorify and praise God in the face of issues and adversity and troubles, I'll show you a people, amen, that can really praise God when things are going well, amen. Glory to God. I don't want to be just a fair weather Christian. I don't want to be one that just thanks Him when things are going good. I want to thank Him, amen, when I ain't got a dime in my pocket. I want to praise Him, amen, when I have to crawl, amen, out of my bed to get to the kitchen. It doesn't matter. God is alive and well
oil in my life, and the older I get, that's the only thing that matters with me, is where I stand with the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I got news for you. I'm not here to stay. I'm here to prepare to go to heaven. I'm prepared to go to a heavenly place that Jesus Christ Himself has prepared, that I may be with Him forever. So why not go through a little trouble? Why not go through a little issue? The best is yet to come. Hallelujah. Praise God. Here again, the children of Israel find themselves in dire straits. If you haven't noted by now, you need to realize that Satan is always after God's people. He wants to make your life as miserable as he possibly can. He wants you to turn your eyes from the goodness of God into the troubles that you are carrying. Amen. But I got something to tell you. Amen. I got to keep my eyes on Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Can I tell you just a few of the benefits of keeping your eyes on Jesus? If you truly keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't be quick to tell everything I trip and fall. If you keep your eyes on Jesus, you won't be so quick, amen, to tell or to look when other people are struggling and having problems and trials. You'll pray for them, amen. You'll encourage them. You'll lift them up. Amen. That was nowhere in my notes, by the way. God spoke to Moses. Man, aren't you glad? God speaks to you. Let me tell you what Moses was going through. He's walking through the camp of Israel. He was getting some stares. And they wasn't nice. Come on. Have you ever felt the piercing eyes of someone who held animosity toward you? Have you ever shook their hand and they hugged your neck and you thought, Lord, have mercy, where is that coldness coming from? You say you love me, but your spirit says you despise me. Moses was once a hero. Moses was the great leader, anointed of God, and still was, by the way, but not in the eyes of the people. Man, the people saw now that God, that Moses had brought them out into the wilderness to die. They'd just been fed. They forgot about the manna. Now they needed water, and they went to Moses and said, you got to give us some water to drink. I'm wondering, did they think Moses' tent was full of water bottles? Did they think Moses was carrying around canteens and nobody else had water? Let me tell you, when people are facing drastic measures, amen, they will forget about reasoning. They'll begin to reach and grab for anything that they can. And Moses, I can almost imagine, as he's walking through the camp of Israel, there goes Moses. He's brought us out here in the wilderness, and he don't care nothing about us. Why, he never calls us. He don't even shake our hand like he used to. Well, I saw him talking to Aaron the other day, and I'm positive they were talking about me. You know, when people say that, why aren't you just as quick to say, I'm sure they were praying for me. It's always they're talking about me. And Moses was having a very difficult time, I'm sure. Especially if the children of Israel expected him to give them water, because you don't understand, he didn't have any water to drink either. So he goes to God. He says, God, what shall I do? People are chiding with me. They're almost ready to stone me. You know, we go to God sometimes, and I'll say I go to God sometimes, and I'm facing an issue or problem or something that and here's the thing, I'm just going to give a little confession. It's usually after I've tried to fix it every way I know how. And it's only gotten worse. So then I say, well, God, I'll give you a chance, I guess. I can't do it. So I bring it to God, and I expect this essay, exactly how God's going to do it step by step by step by step. And I don't know why. Maybe it's because my faith is weak and I need to know every little thing, every little detail. By the way, have you ever spoken to anybody that can make the shortest version of a story that long? And you're trying to be polite and you're going, where's the end of this thing? But they put every little, and sometimes in my prayer life, I go to God and I want every little thing in detail. And maybe Moses did. Maybe Moses wondered, what am I going to do? How am I going to speak to the people? What am I going to tell them? God, are we going to do this? Are we going to, you know, begin to use the water and just kind of, just, you know, spare it just a little here and there? I need to know every detail because they're getting ready to stone me. I'm in a serious situation. And we're expecting this great dialogue from God. And God says, go on. Go on? I prayed for 3 hours. God, I've requested help from you. I've told you they're ready to stone me. I told you they don't like me anymore. I told you when I walk through the camp, they're talking behind my back. And all you say is, go on. God, am I missing something? Speak to me. Talk to me. Go on. How profound. You see, God don't have to give me every detail. God doesn't have to go line by line by line of what He's going to do. If He did that, where would be my faith? But if He tells me to go on, I'm going to go on by faith. It doesn't matter. Where are you going? Where God told me to do. Where God, what's He going to do? Whatever God needs me to do. Why are you so worried when God says go on? And we understand where, why, how. Don't matter. If you go on for God, He'll fill in the where. He'll fill in the how. He'll fill in the why. Praise God. Just go on, saints. When it gets like you can't take another step, just go on. When your neighbors hate you, just go on. When you can't get spiritual water, just go on. We must go on. We can't go back. There's nothing back there in Egypt for us. There's nothing back there in the journey that we just come. It's all before us. We must go on. I'm sure Moses had been frustrated, somewhat discouraged, tired of the people complaining. Have you ever noticed thirsty people murmur? And it's never enough to just say, you know, I could use a drink of water. It's kind of like this. I'm about to thirst to death. Oh my God. It's been 30 minutes since this poor person had water. They're at the point of death. We got to pull over. Get them babies some water. You know, we Christians are like that sometimes too. Man, we can't live 30 minutes at a time. I'm good. It's me again, Lord. I got to have you blessed. I got to have you anointed. I got to have some again that thirsty water. Come on, man. If that's what takes, amen, you continue to pray. 30 minutes at a time. Lord, I need you, I need you, I need you. But thirsty people do murmur. Thirsty people murmur. And I want to take you into the spiritual realm. Spiritually thirsty people murmur. Spiritual thirsty people find fault. We love our leaders when they're nice. Come on, man. We love Moses when we was going across the Red Sea. We love Moses when God just totally annihilated the Egyptian army in the Red Sea. What a great revival. What a great leader. But you let them get spiritual thirsty. Who made him the leader? Spiritual thirsty people murmur. Singing's too loud. The music vibrates. Let me tell you something. That ain't bad. Because it's sometimes the only time you people will move. If the Spirit won't move you, we'll let the music move you. And then maybe you'll get in touch with the rest of the people. But you know what I like? When there's no music and there's no singing, and I still feel the move of God. I still feel the anointing of God. I can still get excited. I can still lift my hands and praise Him. I can still know that it is God that's going to see me through. Amen. But spiritual people murmur. Spiritually thirsty people murmur. Never satisfied. Grumbling. Complaining. Preaches too loud. Preaches too long. Where'd he get that shirt and tie? Maybe it's because I moonlight as a referee. I don't know. Never satisfied. And then Moses, why are you complaining with me? You understand, I ain't had nothing to drink either. Come on, brother. Yeah, about a year later. You don't get sick. You don't get down. You don't get discouraged. You don't get upset.
Really?
Why do you tempt God? Look at their demand. Give us water. Whoa. That's a long way from Heavenly Father. I need you to bless. I need you to anoint. I need you to feed me. I need you to fill my cup till it runneth over. As opposed to, God, you need to give me water. I'm going to quit church. Give me water. Scared Moses. What shall I do? God said, go on. Before the people. Let me tell you something. God's called you in the ministry. You got to lead the people. You don't get down there and grumble and complain with them. You don't throw your hands up and quit just because times are bad. You're just as thirsty as they are, but you got to lead them. You got to go on before the people. You got to be an example. Amen. You got to trust God. You got to encourage the people. You got to say, hey, the best is yet to come. We're on our way. Glory to God. You done come this far. Amen. Why throw your hands up and quit now? Amen. If you want to understand what God is able of doing, look what He's already done. Amen. I will tell you, if you're facing adversity, if you're facing problems, if you begin to thank Him for what He's already done, all of a sudden, your discouragement, your complaining will turn into praise and worship, and God will put a door right there. Amen. Where there was no door. If God has ever done that for you, give Him praise this morning. Give Him glory this morning. Hallelujah. Go on before the people. Take the elders with you. Take the elders with you. Probably several scenarios. If we can try to understand the workings of God, I found myself not able to. I just accept it. But if we look at this, maybe we might ask, what's the purpose, God, for the elders? Because probably some of the elders was a little thirsty too. Probably was. But these elders were the leaders of the tribes of Israel. And back then, you see, when God done something, you didn't find it on Facebook. Or the telephone. You needed somebody to share the good news. I believe that God knew that Moses needed witnesses to convey to the people the miracle of God. He said, take the elders with you. But you're the one that's going to have to go on. And they will follow you. And the people will follow them as they follow you, as you follow God. In that order. And go stand, or go to the rock that I will be standing on. Amen. Glory to God. I mean, knows any rock won't do. Come on. It had to be the rock on which God was standing. It had to be the rock on which God had appointed.
Amen.
God, I don't need just any help. I need your help. God, I don't need just any door. I need the door that you're standing by. Because I want to go on for you. And oh, by the way, Moses, take that rod with you. The rod, you know, where you smote the water, the river, and it divided. Sometimes a rod will bring back your memory. Young man, you remember what I done to you last time you out of step?
Come on now.
Yeah. Come on. Now, I want you to know that this is because I love you.
Yeah,
and it's going to hurt me a lot worse than... Yeah, right. Sometimes God's rod is a remembrance. Because He chastises them that He loves. Amen. I don't know about you, but sometimes I need to be straightened out. Sometimes I need an attitude adjustment. Sometimes I need to get my mind focused back on Him and not the problem, not the issue, not the obstacle, but focused on the Lord. Take that rod with you. You know, the one you smote is the river. And I will stand before thee upon the rock. You know, there's a place in the Bible that said basically that God works in mysterious ways. Can I assure you they're not mysterious to Him? God said, I wonder why I done that. No. They're mysterious to us. Come on. We don't understand always the mind of God. His ways, His mind, so much higher than ours. Amen. But we're simply taught, amen, and encouraged to obey His word. I don't know why He chose to smite the rock. He could have told Moses to take that rod and the hammer and drive a hole in that rock. He could have told him to take a shovel and dig under that rock. He could have told him to go speak to that rock. But this particular instance, He said, go smite the rock that I stand on, and water will come out of it. Do what? It's as easy as that. We've been walking all around this water. We've been seeing this rock, and we've been hollering about something to drink, and water was there all the time. Can I tell you, spiritually thirsty people, you haven't been without water. You just wasn't looking in the right place. There's abundance of water, enough to fill you overflowing, to meet every need, to heal your body, to lift you up, to encourage you, and it's just a prayer away. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But there's got to be the rock that the Lord was standing on. What a beautiful, an absolute gorgeous shadow and forerunner of Christ. Hello? Can I focus your attention on 1 Corinthians chapter number 10? Verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. Verse 1 through 4. Can I also remind us that nothing God does is by coincidence. He knows He has a perfect plan. And that perfect plan includes us. We don't always have to know the details. We don't always have to know the next step. If we'll just follow by faith and go on for Him. God said, go to the rock that I'm going to be standing on and smite it. And when you smite it, water will come forth. Now, I know I'm being repetitive and I know I'm being redundant. But God's word specifically said, go to the rock that I will be standing on and smite the rock, and water will come forth from that rock. Can I tell you that are struggling? Can I assure you that are facing obstacles in your life? God's word is not so difficult that we can't understand it. And sometimes we have to hear it again. Go to the rock on which God stands. Smite the rock and water will come forth. If you need help, go to the rock and smite the rock and water will come forth. Not only natural water, but that spiritual living water that shall come forth, that will heal your body, that will save your soul, that will open a door for you, that will make whatever's wrong in your life become right. So Moses goes to the rock, and he takes the elders with him, and he takes his rod. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Moreover, brethren, I would not have ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Oh! What a clearer picture now! You mean that I can go to the rock which is called Christ? Yeah, you got it. I can ask Him to help me, and He will. If I'm spiritually thirsty, He will fill me with that living water. If I am down to my last hour, God will make a way. Hallelujah. I can go to Him anytime, anywhere, and God will be there for me. Hallelujah. Praise God. We must go on. The reason we can go on is because, let me remind you again, God knows what He's doing. God knew that you and I'd be sitting here today. God knows everything we've faced, whether we tell Him or not, He knows it. Can't keep a secret from God. You don't even have to utter it, and He knows it. But the reason that God told Moses to go through these steps was a type and shadow for our salvation. Can I remind you that Christ was smitten, not just merely talked to. He was beaten. He was bruised for our iniquity. Thus, the smiting of the rock that seemed severe, because of the smiting of the rock, because of the smiting of Christ, our Lord and Savior, it seemed brutal. It seemed terrible. It seemed like it was no use. Amen. How could somebody beaten and crucified ever help us? Because from that rock came life-giving water. Amen. That life-giving water today. Yes, understand that He was smitten and nails were driven in His hands and His feet, and He was thrust upon a cross and thrust down in a hole. But understand, the Bible tells us explicitly that one of the swords reached up with a spear and pierced His side, and there forth came water. Amen. Not only natural water from the body, but you got to understand, God knew when He was standing on the rock of Mount Horeb that one day in the future, one day when it seemed like we had just got out of the wilderness of sin, when it seemed like we couldn't go any further, when it seemed like there was no hope, glory to God, Christ came on the scene. Jesus died for you. He died for me. He was beaten. He was smitten. But out of His side came forth water, living water, salvation, overflowing water, water that will save you, water that will heal you, water that will make a way for you. It is still flowing today. Hallelujah! If you've tasted that water, give Him praise. Give Him praise. Glory! Glory! Hallelujah! Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Not just any water. Not just any water. Remember Jesus at the well. He said, I can give you water where you'll never thirst again. Glory to God. You got to know who's speaking to you. You got to know, amen, who your Savior is. I know the road is treacherous. I know the journey's long. I know that in our flesh, sometimes we're discouraged. I know that sometimes we're afflicted, not only in our body, but sometimes in our soul as well. But I got a message for you. We must go on. We got to go on. Lead me to that rock that is higher than I. Yes, Lord, lead me to that rock. That rock where I can receive strength. That rock where I can drink of that heavenly living water. That water that will cause me to never thirst again. That water that will cause me to endure every pain, every situation, every agonizing thing that I must face in this life. I don't face it alone. Amen. Because I can go to the rock. Amen. That spiritual rock. That living water that will quench our spiritual thirst. Glory to God. Can you imagine? The Bible doesn't say. In fact, it quickly jumps from there to their next exploit. You ain't going to believe it. They ain't no more got a good taste of that water. And then here come the enemy. The Amalekites come in and try to overtake them. But that's all right. We got living water. Glory to God. It's okay, devil. I ain't thirsty no more. I've been filled. And because I'm filled, I'm ready to face the next enemy. Because I'm filled, I'm ready to face the next obstacle. It doesn't matter what it is, because I'm not by myself. I'm not alone. God is with me. God will help me. In fact, God will fight it for me. Glory to God. I'm just going to go on. Praise God. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to walk when I'm weary. Amen. I'm going to run and when I feel like fainting. Glory to God, because I know that that is waiting for me is far better than that is behind me. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, no sooner than God did those miracles. Here come the enemy. Oh, the enemy, he'll try to take your blessing. He'll try to take your victory. Glory to God. But you got to go on. You must go on. You must go on when you're tired. You must go on when you're weary. You must go on when you're not getting any help and comfort from anybody else. Glory to God. Don't look to man to give you this water. Come on. Don't look for organization to give you this water. I love our church, but don't look for the church to give you water. Look to God. It says it's not about us. It's all about Him. Amen. Everything we do is about Him. Glory to God. That's where my strength comes from. That's what got me out of the bed this morning. That's what planted my feet. Amen. On a solid rock. Amen. That's what caused me to rejoice, even when there's situations that are not too easy to get over, because God knows, amen, that we're going to make it through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We must go on. You can imagine. Who's ever had any good news you just couldn't wait to tell anybody? Four people, thank God. Maybe I need to preach again if that's the only happy people we got in the church. We got four happy people that's got good news. The rest of you go, I'm waiting on mine. Let me rephrase that. I mean, it's got something you just couldn't wait to tell somebody. I hope it's good news. Amen. You know, ministers, sometimes they get messages and they say, God, you do realize this will be my last sermon at that church, right? Just as long as you know, God, I know you said you'd make a way. And then there's times when you can't hardly wait to get in the pulpit to tell them that what God has laid on your heart. I'm not an actor. I know that probably burst your bubble. You probably thought I was. I'm a character, but I'm not an actor. But can I give you the before and after? Moses is a man of God. And he goes to his elders and says, listen, I'm going to have to ask y'all to do something you probably ain't going to like, but God told me to do it, so we better do it. Y'all need to come on over to the prayer room with me. And I don't know how long I'm going to be there. What we're going to pray about, I don't even really know, to be honest with you. He just said, go, and that's where I'm going, and we're going to go up here to this rock. And we're going to pray and hope. Hope. God does some hope. He does. God got all over my case about hope and said, you need to believe. Quit hoping. Hope we have a good service tonight. Well, believe that you are. Hope I feel better in the morning. So mercy, y'all come on up to the rock. We're going to pray. We're going to stay there until we get victory. And probably a couple of the elders said, well, now you know I got a couple of appointments I got to be at later on now. We can't stay all night. Moses said, I don't know. I don't think it would take that long. But anyway, they go up to the mountain. They go up to the rock. But can you flip over just a little bit?
Come on, man.
Amen. When that water come gushing out of that rock, don't you think it changed some attitudes?
Oh, yeah.
Don't you think it turns some frowns into smiles? All of a sudden, Moses got the feeling in the boat. Well, the anointing is on me again, but praise God. And the elders, they were excited too, because they all went down the mountain back to tell the children of Israel. That's the reason God probably needed witnesses, because they probably would have thought Moses had flipped his white wig. At least that's whatever artist has ever drew him with white hair. I don't know what Moses looked like. But I guarantee you, when he come down from where the water was, he had a smile on his face. He had a sermon in his heart. He said, not only am I going to go on, but I'm going to encourage you to go on. And I'm going to tell these elders to tell every tribe of Israel to go on. And I'm going to pass that to you this morning. I don't want to be the only one telling you to go on. Next time. Yeah. Next time somebody gets in your face and says there ain't no use, I want you to tell them, go on. Go on for Jesus. I want you to tell every negative person that it's time to go on. Encourage the church. Encourage your family. Encourage your husband, your wife. Encourage yourself. We must go on for Jesus. Oh, what a time of celebration.
Amen.
God, when the water flowed. But we must go on. I know that that was a temporary thing. But the water that I'm talking about this morning does not dry up. It does not quit running when obstacles arise. It does not quit running when you stand before the doctor and he tells you there's nothing else that I can do. The spiritual water that I'm talking about is ever flowing. It's still going today. All we have to do is go on. We must go on. We must keep on keeping on for God. I love you. My prayer is for you. We need to encourage one another. We need to help one another go along. Amen. Because the reward is so great, so wonderful, and the best is yet to come. Would you stand? Every saint of God praying. Every head, please bow your head, close your eyes in reverence to the Spirit of God that is in this place. I feel the Holy Ghost moving. I feel victory. Amen. In the face of defeat, I feel victory. If you need prayer this morning, understand this altar is open. If you're in an unsaved condition, please come down. If you are in an uncertain condition, please come down. Don't want anybody leaving this place today with the uncertainty of how it stands with you and God, because we don't have the promise of tomorrow. The breath that we breathe is on loan from God Himself. I want to be ready, don't you? While every head is bowed, please, no looking around, every saint of God praying, is there one that would come? I'm not going to tarry long, because you and God know the situation. You and God know. Some of you elders, if you would come around, let's pray for this sister this morning.
Jesus.